Okay, so this is fucking confusing, dude. This is really confusing. When you dive, delve
your sexuality
deep, like, yeah,
it
exactly.
Is. It is.
Don't put me in a box.
It's
man.
Weird.
Shit. God damn you, Micah! After the events of the Curse of Michael Myers, H6. The Akkads wanted to move forward with it. They didn't want to get into all this cult shit and stuff like that. They wanted to move a little bit forward. At one point, there was a team of writers that was put in a room and they said, hey, write a script and then pitch it to Mustafa Akkad. One of those guys was Robert Zappia. One of those guys was Daniel Farns, who wrote the original script for Halloween 6. Now, eventually, they came up with a script that was going to be a type of Silence of the Lambs type script, where there was this guy obsessed with Michael Myers and they were going to use him, who was on death row, to capture Michael Myers.
That's fine.
Eventually. Now, they wrote that script, they went through with it, they pitched it to Akkad, and originally he was okay to go with it. But then the Weinsteins reached out to Jamie Lee Curtis and said, hey, would you want to come and do this film? And she said yes, and then they said, okay, if Jamie Lee Curtis is going to come back for this film, fuck that script. It was originally going to be straight to DVD, by the way, straight to video. But they said, since she's going to come back, we're going to put money into it, we're going to put it out there for everybody. So they used elements of that script. Then they went to Kevin Williamson, the guy who wrote Scream, the Scream movies, which were so popular at that time, and which we all know H2O borrowed heavily off of,
yeah.
Including the exact score.
Like the movie. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, the whole thing, the teen angsty thing, all of it was there.
Kevin Williamson wrote a treatment. He wrote like a 7-page treatment, which we're going to do a whole video on after this video, and it laid out some groundwork for that idea. Now, Robert Zappia was brought back on to write another script using some of his ideas from his original script. Dimension
Users.
Went to Robert Zappia, the guy who wrote the script we're going to talk yeah. about today, and they said, hey, we'll give you more money if we'll let you add Kevin Williamson as one of the script writers, because what we want to do is we want to promote this as written by the writer of Scream.
I see.
He said no. Yeah. He said, I want the credit. Fuck the money. Respect. But here today, we're going to talk about the differences between Robert Zappia's first draft of what H2O was going to be in his eyes after all this shit happened versus what came on screen.
So the first thing I want to talk about is that they literally talk about water a lot.
So this film opens up the exact same way. And this is one of Kevin Williamson's main ties into the script. Because if you remember with the Scream series, one of the main things was they opened with a kill.
Mm.
Right? They opened with a kill. And that's why we got what we got in H2O with Joseph Gordon-Levitt with the ice skate to the face with the nurse, the original nurse from H2O. That whole thing happened the exact same way.
Yeah, the only noticeable difference that I don't know why I zeroed in on this one. I wonder why. But he didn't go for the beer. When he investigates her house, yeah. he went for like a soda or some shit, or
I know
like
that too.
Or a milk. Like he drank some milk. It's like, your family poor, you fuck. Like, are you gonna drink out of her milk carton and then put it back like nothing happened? Jimmy's by himself. There's no extra friend. There's no guy that was hanging out with him, probably smoking weed and looking at Pornhub. It was just him hanging out in his house, and she asks him to go over to investigate the home.
But the way they wrote it in the script, though, was corny. He was like, I don't want to miss the big game. He gets the ice skate in the face the exact same way. She struggles to get away the exact same way. All that happens the same way. Moving forward, though, there is no bathroom stall scene in this script. You remember when Myers shows up and there's the little girl in the bathroom and that kind
yeah,
of
I
cool
know.
Weird scene?
Yeah.
That's not in this script at all. But moving forward past that, she faked her death. All that stuff's still the same. They don't mention Loomis or voiceover in this
script.
Which
I don't like
either.
That at all.
Yeah. In this version also...
Well, they do mention Loomis.
Yeah.
They don't show anything with Loomis or anything like that, but they do mention his name.
Yeah, one of the only differences from the open of the film to this script was when they find Nurse Pamela's body afterwards, it's very gruesome. He used a fire poker. Hot fire poker!
Oh.
He used a fire poker, and when they found her body, he had jammed the fire poker up her nose and through her skull, which they didn't show.
Oh, it's like, you like sizzling steaks, bitch?
We going to see.
He fucking put that right in that face. I mean, it was the way that it was described. I'm sure we wouldn't have got the true brutal scene because, you know, it was the way the movie was shot in the late 90s. They're not going to show graphic scenes, but it the idea that kill seemed pretty damn cool. The H2O movie felt very clean to me. I've always felt like it just felt very, very clean, and it felt like a product of its time, like along with the MTV shit. This felt more like in line with like what I had come to know of Michael Myers from Halloween 4, 5, and 6. So it felt like it was continuing that tradition on with this more brutal Michael.
It did. But it is, the script is like 69 pages. It's short. It
69.
Reads easy. Hey, it reads easy. It reads clean to the point. Mm-hmm. Like it did, and to me it also, I got that clean like 2000s feel to it as well.
A little bit, yeah.
Even when I was reading the script. in the film, the detectives come in and they find the Carrie Tate file missing and all that stuff like that. And this one, they delve a lot more into it because they have these two detectives. And these guys, there's a guy,
Blake,
there's a girl.
Carter.
Straight up TV type detectives. And I do see why they cut them out of the film.
I kind of dug them. Like, because I was thinking, like, maybe if the dialogue between them or the way they were written was a little tighter, I could have seen, imagine this dude, Kurt Russell in the role of Carter and Heather Graham as Blake.
They're the audience that tie into who Laurie Strode used to be versus how she became Carrie Tate. Because eventually they show up at the school and they question her because of these deaths that have been happening. And they figure out on their own, Laurie Strode's not actually dead, that she is Carrie Tate. And then they just end up dying, one of the deaths even being off screen. Laurie finds her in a bed dead with her throat slit, and they've got Laurie Strode's grave behind her, like they did with his sister's grave in the original Halloween. That was kind of cool.
Throwback, nod the hat.
They eventually introduce us to John and Carrie Tate and their relationship, which is mostly the same, in all honesty. Only in this script, Josh Hartnett, John's character, doesn't know Carrie Tate is Laurie Strode. Yeah. He doesn't know about Michael Myers. He doesn't know any of that shit's happened. And instead of wanting to go to Yosemite, like, Mom, I'm going to Yosemite.
Michael Myers is dead.
What he wanted was, he just wanted some freedom because she was all up his ass like she was in the movie as well.
He wants to go live in the dorm.
He wants to go live right down the street in the dorms where she can see him,
which is,
and she won't allow
good.
Him.
I understand that. Like, why the fuck would you live in your house with your mom, who's also like the headmistress of the fucking elite prep school. I'm like, all my friends see it. Like, why can't I just go live with the dorm and fuck my girlfriend like normal?
At least in H2O, he knew why his mom was so crazy. In this, he's like, God, why are you such a bitch, Mom?
I feel like that character, I don't know what I like better. Like, Josh Hartnett's character, like, he's 18 years old. Like, he's trying to get out. You know, like, the whole thing, the way they present him, kind of a rebellious kid, but still respectful of his mother. Kinda. This one is, he's a 16-year-old kid, pure and through. Like, he doesn't give a shit what you have to say, Mom. And he's not aware of all the facts. So it's pretty much about selfish reasons why he wants to do things. But I understand completely, too. Yeah. It's like, hey, man, I just want to go out and get fucked up, eat Cheetos and goddamn Funyuns and have a great time with my friends and smoke some pot.
And it was good casting, because even as I read this script, as different as certain things were, I still was able to picture Josh Hartnett in that role.
At 16?
I was. Josh Hartnett was young when he did this. This was his first movie role. Then even on the set, he was
talking
about,
but Josh Hartnett looked like he was pushing a hard 20.
It's funny about that.
He did look like...
About that movie, though, like when he actually went to audition for the faculty. Mm-hmm. And they liked him so much, the Weinsteins called him and said, why don't you come audition for this, too? And he basically filmed both of those at the same time, which is nuts.
Well, he didn't have to raise his kid from Pearl Harbor.
That's right.
Right when he
blew up. Another difference is, as we go further into the script, you remember LL Cool J is totally missing. The character's gone.
I did notice that, and that felt bad.
Round Millet.
It's first, okay, like the character of Hattie, which is the character they used to replace an older, like, early 60s lady, a security guard. She really didn't have any kind of panache about her. She was a standalone character that was a throwaway character, pretty much. Having LL come in and do the part that they gave him,
comb your hair,
which is replacing that character with him, it added another flavor to the film, which, again, I'm not a particular, like, huge fan of H2O, but still, it did add something unique and fresh to the movie, having him in it. So having Hattie in it, which is the character's name again, is... It's great and all, but I'm like, who the fuck are you gonna stop? A goddamn bird? Like, I mean, it's not gonna do anything. Like, I know you're gonna die early. Like, as soon as you saw her, you're like, you're gonna die.
The movie definitely wins out in this aspect, whereas the movie having LL Cool J is way better than what they did in the script with Hattie, because eventually Myers shows up, he fucks with her, she ends up dying, and it's just kind of a whatever death scene.
Yeah.
But...
It was decent, but it wasn't great.
Yeah, and they play around with the teenagers and stuff as well in this. Instead of John sneaking out and all that stuff going on, what happens is the teenagers go to a Freeman's drugstore, and there is an actual, a cardboard standout of Michael Myers that they're paying
attention
to.
Yeah.
He's holding a meat cleaver, and there's a whole conversation about Michael Myers would never use a meat cleaver.
I feel like that would be you and I, like that's not accurate at all. There's one character who's like, he never used a meat cleaver, and he was like, well, who gives a fuck? Like, I do. I care about the art.
Yeah. So one of the kids, Eddie, is going to have sex with his girlfriend Amy, and he works at Freeman's drugstore. The whole thing reminds me of Brady and all them hanging out there.
Yeah.
But this one kid, Eddie, is going to have sex with his girlfriend in the back of the store when he hears a noise and he's like, "We're closed, damn it." He goes out to investigate, and Michael Myers, the meat cleaver's gone from the cardboard cutout's hand, and Michael Myers is there, and he shoves the fucking thing right into his skull and kills him. Again, there's no scenes of Myers traveling in this one. He's just fucking there all
the time. It was great. I mean, it read like a great scene.
Amy comes out when she hears a noise, and she discovers that Eddie's been killed, and Myers kills her in a way that he shoves her into the glass frame of the door and then impales her body on a shard of glass.
So I was like, "Did you use Windex, bitch?"
It's pretty cool how they do that there, because he impales her on the glass, then he stops, he turns his head, and he looks at her as he's one to do. But earlier in the script, she's mentioning, "Do you like my nails? They're bloodshed red."
Yeah.
And then the last shot's pretty cool because you see her blood running down onto her bloodshed red nails. I'd imagine that would have been a pretty
good
shot.
Well, it says Michael looks at her quizzically. He's like, I wonder if she got that nail polish from Amazon.
Nobody ever mentions this in any of the research that I've done, but they always talk about how Williamson's treatment originally had a section of it that was tied to 4, 5, and 6, but this script did too. When the two detectives go and they're trying to figure out what happened after finding the nurse dead, they go to the cemetery, as they do in all these movies, and they find, instead of his sister or his mom or any of that shit, they find Laurie Strode's headstone missing. But they do mention that that her daughter's headstone's there.
That's pretty cool. So Jamie gets a shout-out.
Yeah, in a way. And so what it says is, it literally reads as Fred, who's the cemetery guy, he says, "Buried her daughter right next to her not too long ago. You don't suppose that Myers fella took the tombstone?" So they actually, just that briefly, I mean, that was only
cool,
snippet. But it's cool in the way that they mention it, and I wanted these movies to be tied together, but at the same time, it's like, okay, if you're going to go into a character of what Laurie Carrie Tate is dealing with, you would have to mention something as important as her daughter being killed by Myers once or twice in the script,
well,
you would think. It would weigh on her.
I think that they did, as far as Carrie Tate, well, Jamie Lee Curtis's character, they show that she's fucked up and damaged anyway. The last thing she wants to do is remember. She's probably taken therapy. They didn't show that. But what I would have done is maybe shown, like, she had gone through massive amounts of therapy, shock treatment, and she was on pills, which they did do that in H2O, to kind of basically suppress memories of that past life and move on with her life and embrace completely the Carrie Tate persona that she made. Because on the campus, she's well-respected and things like that, like she was in H2O, but there's no, like, dark secret. There is a dark secret, but it's not like it's not known. You know what I mean? Like, Josh Hartnett's character already knew it. So it was like she was already living with it, with Josh Hartnett. They having a reminder every day about Michael Myers. She's living it with, I think that she suppressed it enough in this script treatment, since nobody knows except for her. She doesn't have to talk about it every 5 seconds.
Well, in this script also, she's not giving in to her alcoholic tendencies. In this script, unlike the movie and unlike Kevin Williamson's treatment, she actually goes to get a bottle of vodka out at one point and then pours it down the sink.
I don't really.
She's fighting it. She's fighting it, and you know, take that how you want to. I just feel like if you're going to add that into the script, it should weigh way more on her persona as a character than just not even being mentioned by her at all in the entire fucking movie.
Could you imagine that Michael only went after Laurie Strode's tombstone because he was like, "I'm not carrying the other one." He's like, "Fuck that. That shit's too heavy.
I'll do one."
But Judith Myers,
I can't
carry a boat like this.
Now, when Michael does decide to arrive at the school and he gets there, what he does in this version of the movie is that he takes Eddie, the kid that he killed's dead body, he puts him in the driver's seat of the car that he drives up to the gates. When the security guard, Hattie, goes out to check on him, he plays this game of cat and mouse with her, eventually kills her, and hangs her in some fashion in the ceiling. And so
that's not much to say on that.
Kind of what it is.
You don't see it, really.
Again, way better what they did with LL Cool J and that stuff. There is a character in this script, not in the movie, named Sarah, who was in previous versions of the script, and there's a cool kill scene that comes out of that. She's coming out of a pool. Myers grabs her by the neck, drowns her, stabs her a couple of times, and then leaves her dead, bloodied body inside of this pool. Now, a lot of the scenes in this script take place in this gymnasium/slash pool area. So, like, what happens is it's a gymnasium that turns into a pool, right? So, like, there's a hardcore pool cover that electronically closes over the pool and becomes the gym.
I like how Michael was not only being vicious, but he's intelligent. He knew exactly what he was doing. He wanted to make sure that he buried that body underneath the fucking the floor, so, because there's a party going to be happening, a Halloween party later that night, and he wanted that. I don't know why. I mean, it just adds up to Michael's, not his, but his insidious nature, I guess, in some way. Like, the way that he wants to kill people and present them in a, like, he wanted people to be, like, seen or something. I don't know. It just, it worked for Michael Myers in that. In that.
And people always try to pin him. They're like, okay, either he's going after me or my family members, and if you don't get in his way, you're safe, or he's killing at random and he wants to kill everyone. I think it's a little bit of both, personally. With this script and with all the movies, I think Myers just, like, as a serial killer, he maybe kills you if you get in your way. Maybe if you get in his way, he just walks away. There's a scene where a teenager bumps into him and he lets him go.
Yeah,
like, but there's this scene where he goes towards this girl who's swimming in the pool and kills her. And I like that. I like the killing at random. But it's badass because he kills her. He leaves her body in this pool, and then the electronic pool / gymnasium cover covers her up. Later on, when the Halloween party happens, all these kids are out there at this party, and the pool starts. The thing comes open, and they see a dead body, and everybody freaks out and tries to run.
It's part of decorations. What are you getting mad about? Okay, I bought that shit at Halloween City.
Beautiful fucking scene. And basically, like, I say a third of this script takes place in this gymnasium / pool. Pretty cool stuff happens from it. But so eventually, as the script goes on, one of the new things they add is that as John doesn't know about his mom, there's one scene, and it fucks with you when you read it at first. There's a scene in the girl's locker room where Michael Myers comes out. He slits a girl's throat. Carrie Tate, Laurie Strode, runs in the room. She sees Michael standing there in a mask holding the knife, and then she screams, "Michael, no!" It's the first time she's actually seen him, even though she's had visions like she did in the movie. And then Michael Myers, this fucked me up, dude, when I read it. Michael Myers bends over and starts laughing. He's laughing, and you're thinking, Michael Myers is fucking laughing? At first you're scared, and then you're pissed because he doesn't laugh. But then he takes off the mask, and it's her son John playing a prank on her.
Yeah, I mean, that whole scene by itself, I mean, it does show the trauma that she's going through and the fact that no one knows that she's actually Laurie Strode. So seeing her son portraying Michael Myers and the fact that maybe she's thinking, or she has thought at some point, that the craziness or the psychoticness actually carries down the line in some way, and maybe he's done it. Maybe her son is infected by the same thing that infected her brother. That's a cool scene.
Part of me wants it to be kept in the script because it is a cool idea. Seeing her own son wearing mask would fuck with her. But at the same time, something I hate in movies is fake scares. I hate it when you show something and it doesn't turn out to be what it is. Dream sequence, whatever. And that would have fallen in line with that. So I don't know. But I get what you're saying. There's some cool kills that happen. There's one scene. Molly's friend Linda is fucking around. Myers finds her. He kills her with a fucking meat slicer, which would have been a really cool kill for a movie that really didn't have any inventive kills for the most part.
If they had shown it, because even the way the script reads, you don't know how much they would have shown. Because all it says is he presses her face into it, and it starts what makes her like into mincemeat. But I mean, you don't know how much they show. I mean, I'm not saying I need to see all the graphic, gory details, but show me something here, Jim.
When you look at the final version of H2O, it could use a couple inventive kills. You know, it could really use some not generic fucking high school movie kills, and the meat slicer kill would have been good. Molly is the nice character in this movie. She's the one that's trying to date Josh. She's the RA. She's the good kid or whatever. And there's one scene that works out really well with her where she's sitting in her room. She got caught dry humping with John or whatever, so she gets banned from the
gym. You get pregnant!
She's alone in her room, and she's like petting her dog, and she thinks that she's petting her dog, and then her fucking dog comes in.
By the way, I want to point out, in that scene specifically, they do focus a lot on the closet being cracked open, Halloween 2018, and I wonder if McBride might have maybe taken a quick peek at this script, because that is so similar to that particular scene where the closet door doesn't shut, you know, in Halloween 2018, and Michael being there, because it plays out exactly almost like the scene. I mean, the door, the closet door is cracked open. She looks through there. The dog's growling and barking at it. She goes down the hallway. She comes back into the room, and she's laying on the bed, and now the door's open again after she shut the closet door.
Not just that. The school dance.
That's what I'm saying. It felt very similar to Halloween 2018. It's cool. I mean, I'm glad that if McBride or somebody found this script and used that as inspiration to write those scenes, I'm like, that's great. I mean, because it played out like a great scene.
Yeah, dude. And talking about the school dance and the boyfriend drama that happens in Halloween 2018.
And he threw that shit in egg salad. not pudding.
Wait until we get into the Kevin Williamson treatment. I feel like they use some of that too and mix those two things together because it's almost dead on, but we'll get to that. But yeah, there's a cool ass scene where she thinks she's petting her dog, and then her dog walks in the room. Her dog's name's Lurch, by the way. Pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
And then she realizes she's been petting Michael Myers' fucking head.
Here's two things. First off, that's badass because it reminds you of one of those like Tales to Tell in the Dark or something like that.
Yeah.
There was an old ass tall tale or whatever about the lady that put her hand down and she thought the dog was licking her hand and it actually turned out to be the killer.
Yeah.
That's fucking nasty, but it's cool. It's like, your hand tastes like peanut butter. But
The fact this dog smells like latex.
The fact is like, is that my ass? I don't know. But the fact that Michael Myers is laying under the bed like this, like his upper part of his body is like stout.
Just letting her run him.
And he was like, like she's just like messing his hair up. And then she looks down and his hair's all fucked up. He's like, hey, you know how long I used gel on my hair, you fucking bitch?
So eventually Michael starts chasing her after that scene happens, and eventually they end up at a bell tower. Now she goes up to this giant bell tower and she tries to ring the bell to alert everybody.
Ring, like, ding, dong.
He's here.
Ring a ding, 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 dong. Michael Myers here.
Doing it. Wow. She tries to ring the bell, and it's, I don't know how he would have worked this out, because the way they read it, it's four stories tall.
I would have done the ring a ding song.
But she's trying to ring the bell and it's not ringing, and she looks up and it's because Michael stuffed a dead body inside his bell.
That seems cool, and it's preventing the
how
thing.
How the fuck do you get a dead body four stories up in the air?
I mean, how do you fucking make a god? How do you put a big ass fucking dude in the tree
He's a goddamn arts and crafts six. Magician.
I love that guy because you know what? It's not about the kill. It's about the art that you present to the public.
They actually have the balls that they don't in the movie to kill Molly off. He wraps the bell around her, throws her off, and she goes about two stories deep before the rope stops and she snaps her fucking neck right there. And
Gwen Stacy, no! And then Peter Parker was born.
So going forward in this, she puts them all on the bus, almost the exact same situation. Her boyfriend, Will, who there's a scene, by the way, in this movie, you remember in the actual film, she explains to Will who she is. In the script, she explains to Will and John at the same time who she is.
That was a little awkward, the way that read, because you would assume, because there's no scene in the script that shows Will and Josh Hartnett's character, John, having a moment or talking or anything like that. And Will has been banging your mom for a while. But the fact that she wants to reveal this big important news, I feel like you wouldn't reveal it to your boyfriend.
I think it was the shock of what John did to her.
Maybe. But I mean, still, why would you have Will there? Like, I'd be like, you're not my fucking dad. I mean, Will is pretty much the same guy that you saw in H2O.
And I liked him in H2O. He was a really good character.
But that death scene that he has in this,
that's pretty dope. Yeah. He goes to, and again, the same thing that happens. He goes to check on the kids and see if there's any kids left, because he's a good guy. And, you know, horror movies are afraid to do that. They're afraid to take characters who are going to die and make them good people for some reason. But H2O did it well, and this did it well with him. He goes to check and see if any kids are left in the dorms. You don't get to see his death, which is unfortunate. But when Lori goes to find her son, figure out what's going on, she finds him inside of a fucking oven, crispy as fuck.
From the waist up, he's like stuffed in the oven. I wish he had just been like, how long did I leave these chicken fingers in here for?
It's like, Myers got home drunk from the bar and wanted to make some fucking pizza rolls. So we're getting down to the nitty gritty. We're getting really fast into the end of the movie. And this is where things get very different. And honestly, there's a lot better stuff in the theatrical version and some of the better stuff in this one. So going on to it, Lori puts Maul on the bus. And you remember in the movie, to me, it was this badass, empowering, cool ass moment where she grabs the fucking axe and she's like, Michael!
Well,
and they're alone. Yeah, well, but they're alone in this big thing, and she's screaming for Michael. You kind of miss that momentous moment in this script, I feel like, because instead she shuts the gate or whatever, and she goes literally, verbatim from the script, she goes, time to put an end to this nightmare, motherfucker.
That's what I would say online.
but it was way cooler what they did in the movie, you know, Michael and shit like that.
I feel like the scene still plays out the way that it probably would have played out.
For the most.
They would have probably moved that line and maybe not used it, but I don't think there's anything wrong with saying time to put an end to this nightmare, motherfucker. Pretty much that's what you're saying when you have to take a shit after Taco Bell.
I just can't picture her saying that.
She wouldn't have said, I don't think she would have said it, but I feel like they were trying to put the emphasis like you're talking about. The momentous moment, they were trying to put the emphasis on this is the final battle that Jamie Lee Curtis was done supposedly after this one. So,
but the movie,
I think it was more of a placeholder.
Sure, but I understand the movie did it way better than the script did it. They did in the movie with the axe and the walking around the empty 28 days later type shot of the campus is way better than her going, time to put it into this motherfucker!
Get some chicken!
So at this time, Lori finally gets to Michael.
I did like this scene. I think this scene played out way better.
But it's got some dark skid marks in it. All
it's
right?
got some bad crustaceans with that representation.
Yeah. There's a fight scene, and dude, it's crazy because the fight scene happens, and it happens in the gymnasium pool area, and when she goes in there,
let me ask you a question. When you were reading this, Were you pulling from Michael? Because I was pulling from Michael.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when he got stabbed, I'm like,
sick.
Fuck yeah.
I'm sick and disgusting.
I'm like, fuck yeah, you did.
But when she goes into the gymnasium, it's actually a really cool shot how he reads it, because it's pitch black, and where they were going to have this party, the only thing illuminating the gym is pumpkins.
That sounds awesome. Yeah, shit.
With the water, dude, like the blue water and just pumpkins everywhere. Fuck yeah.
I'm going to fucking photograph it.
They end up having a fight. She goes up to Michael. They end up having a fight along the lines of the same thing that happened in H2O, but they end up in the pool together, and she's got the axe and all this shit's happening in the pool, but it read a lot like what ended up becoming the penultimate scene in Strangers 2 Pray at Night.
It does.
Michael's chasing her with an axe in the pool. She's getting away. He even cuts her leg.
Turn around.
John shows up, who has her missing gun that she was looking for early in the film, and he shoots Michael a bunch of times. They end up in another struggle. He pulls Lori into the pool with him, and then eventually, as the pool, for some reason, starts to shut down...
Well, no, they hit the button.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
I don't remember. But the pool starts to shut down. Michael uses the axe to hit land and pulls himself out, and then...
That scene was so great up until the one point.
Yeah.
And I know you're going to say, so it's playing out fucking amazing, okay? Yeah. It's the final boss of the video game. We're having a great time. No cheat codes were used, motherfucker.
Dun-dum, dun-dum, dun-dum.
Goddamn, no.
Bum,
I'm going to get that princess and fuck Koopa. But, I mean, it's playing out so great, and it looks so amazing, and you're seeing it in your mind, the pumpkin lights, everything going, Michael, you know, goddamn beasting it, and chucking the knife in concrete, pulling himself up, and then, as he's pulling himself out of the pool, he says, Lori.
Yeah.
What have you thought, Michael?
And it reads exactly like this. The shape reaches out for her, then a sound altogether unnatural, a desperate plea says... Lori!
You guys remember Are You Afraid of the Dark? That one scene where he's like, I'm cold. I read it like this, like, Lori. Fuck it. Why? Like, there is an obsession in Hollywood, or there is an obsession with people that make these Halloween movies to say, say something, Michael.
Say something!
Say something! Why? Like, he doesn't need to say a fucking word. He doesn't need to grunt. He doesn't need to backstory with white trailer trash. He doesn't need any of this. Take that damn thing off. He doesn't need any of that stuff. He needs to be Michael Myers from Halloween 78 with no backstory, and he doesn't fucking talk, and he hasn't talked since he was a little boy. That makes him fucking scary. So the fact that you're using him to say Lori, which I know that some people will say, well, that's the deviousness of Michael, because Michael's smart. He would use that to get Lori's attention to pull her in. That's still stupid. Michael doesn't talk. That's what makes him scary.
Agreed, 1,000%. But to be fair, as was revealed, the Akkads never wanted to kill off Michael. That was all a ploy. So,
thank God for you.
When he says Lori, I have a feeling their idea was to go back and do some version of the paramedic storyline.
Maybe.
And have that not actually be Michael, have it be someone else.
Just like fucking Rob's like, no!
Yeah, I know. But
no!
Still, if you're looking at it as Michael as it's supposed to be, it's terrible. But then she grabs the javelin. Fucking javelin. it's like medieval knights, you know?
How many males you got? How many medals you got, dog?
I'm sorry, Jim. But she grabs a javelin and stabs it.
Best friends fight till the end.
She stabs him through the heart, and it goes through his heart and out his back. He falls into the pool, and the pool cover encases him.
I like how they said the pool went.
He's like. 20 minutes later, just a little.
If he didn't already talk, he could have been like, shit.
But then Lori and John are in the back of the ambulance. It drives away, fade to black. In the script, we are there. It has happened. So, you know.
I feel like the end of the movie, I like that Michael didn't get his head cut off, like, at the end of this movie.
Well, wait till you hear what happens in the Kevin Williamson treatment.
I can't wait. Not really.
Berk.
It better not be anything
it's
bad.
It's crazy.
But anyway, I did like the ending that Michael drives off the ambulance, so it leaves itself open for more sequels. I actually felt, when I watched H2O for the first time, I hated that fucking ending. I hated the goddamn decapitation.
You just didn't want to see Michael Myers
get
his head.
Well, he's not going to die. Get up, you son of a bitch, because Jay loves you. I don't want to see him die, but I feel like it was so... And I think we've talked about this numerous times. I just felt like that was anticlimactic. It just felt... It didn't feel right. The way that they ended it.
Because his head landed like a potato.
What? Or that, and just the way that she was. I think the best option.
I liked it as an ending to the series, but his head did land like a potato.
The way I would have ended the series is the way that we have talked about, the way that Halloween 2018 probably should have ended, with Jamie going down with the monster. like them both burning up or them both going down together. Yeah. Like something like that. But either way, the script itself.
And if you want to bring back Michael after that, that's fine. But Lori's gone and we don't have to do that storyline.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, you can do whatever you want with it after that. But I mean, at the end of the day, the script is great. I didn't mind the script. I felt like there were some things in it that was really, 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 really good. And then things that were really bad. The talking part really, really put a damper on this diaper. But at the end of the day, go check it out. If you're a Halloween fan, for sure, go read it. Go
definitely
have a good time
reading.
With it.
And nobody really talks about this one because it's so close to the film. But there's a lot of big differences as we've gone through here. I'll put a link below for the script so you guys can check it out yourself. And multiple people have sent this to us over time wanting us to talk about it as well as a Williamson script. So thank all of you who have done that.
Thank you.
That's really cool of you guys. And we'll have more script reviews. So make sure, guys, you subscribe, you click the bell. You have to click the bell. You have to make sure you follow up because YouTube likes to hide us in the doldrums of Michael's pool.
I hate our ass.
Yeah, we do script reviews. We've done the Halloween 4 unmade script review.
YouTube.
Halloween the 3D, the Never Made Rob Zombie one. We got a bunch of script reviews, so if you're new to the channel, please check those out. There's a whole playlist of them and other shit that we do here. But what do you guys think?
This was fun.
It's your decision. Gun to your head before you die. Brad Pitt's got a gun to your head in the back of a fucking gas station.
I kiss him.
Your cereal's never going to taste the same as it's going to tomorrow morning.
Three pebbles?
And which one you got to pick? You got to pick H2O or based off of what we told you about this script. Which one do you go with?
This one. But no, you have to go with the full script.
No. Like this script or H2O. Pick one or the other.
All right. Well, I gotta go with H2O because I don't want him talking. Even though I like the script up till that point. Better than the H2O.
I'm gonna say this script. I'm gonna go with it.
I can't because he fucking talks.
I don't like it either.
He fucking talks.
I don't like it either, but it's not so it's not so final. Like, he can just wake up in a body bag like he does in every fucking movie.
But
you
then he talks.
I know, but we just forget that little guy.
No, they won't.
Like, at one point, he took off his mask and cried at Jamie.
And fucking, you know what they would do?
It's another little weird thing Myers did.
No, because in Halloween Resurrection, if he had talked in this one, he would fucking have a rap off with Busta Rhymes.
Comment down below, let us know your
Mom
thoughts.
Mom spaghetti all over your swears.
We love your fucking faces, and if you're new to the channel, click that subscribe button and get some goddamn wham up in you. By the way, really quick, I want to say one thing. If you turn on your blinker in your car, all right, it sounds like it goes to the beat almost of the Halloween theme music. That ding, 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 ding,
it does.
Ding, ding. When I do mine, sometimes it's going ding, ding, ding. I go dun, 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 dun.
Bum.
Try it sometime. We love your fucking faces. If you're new to the channel, click the subscribe button and get some goddamn whammy.
I just think you need more friends.
I do.
I know. I do too. Is there any openings? Show is over, close the storybook.
We watched a movie. Yeah. We watched a movie. We watched it. We watched a movie. Yeah. You know what? We did a review. We watched a movie.